the most important meal of the day, second breakfast.
Hi, everybody. Welcome back to another Second Breakfast podcast. I'm Andy Roth alongside Phil Duvall. Say hi, Phil.
Hi, everybody.
And it's Tuesday. We like to get a little freaky with our Tuesdays. Never know
what we're going to do. We like to get a little freaky. It's true. Before we get freaky, can I just completely go off topic for a second?
We haven't started it. Well, actually, I think
it's not a digression if we haven't started, right?
I don't think you can go off topic because
we call this preamble? Can I do a little preamble? Yes.
Pre-topic.
It's just when I say off topic, I mean it's not about movies.
Oh, okay. Go for it. Yeah.
So the Korean singer Psy, P-S-Y.
Yes.
It's very possible that he will be a flash in the pan, but I hope not. I hope he's around for a really long time. He's amazing. And I think it's possible for people to think that I'm being ironic because I have like really snobby music tastes and I don't really listen to a lot of modern pop and things like that. I'm not kidding. I think he's amazing and I don't care what anyone says. And his most recent music video called Gentleman is out of control. It is.
It's pretty amazing.
He is a fantastic individual and I want to know him. And I hope he's not a flash in the pan, but as I said to you before, Andy, if he is a flash in the pan, it's a pretty bright flash and a pretty beautiful pan. I hope there's more to him because I'm just so far thoroughly enjoying everything he brings to the table.
I mean, I have seen two things that he has brought to the table, but I like both of those things. You know,
three if you can count just bringing MC Hammer back into our lives for that brief shining moment.
Totes three, totally three, definitely yes, no question.
So, anyways,
so it's your topic, Andy, today, my friend.
This is one of those things that every once in a while we do sort of a macro topic, like when we talked about like what you get for candy when you go to the movies or something. This is one of those topics for me. It's like, are we talking about trailers or something? You know, when I was growing up, back in my day, there would be movies. You know, ice cream cost a nickel. And you called it sherbet. There was a
people died from splinters.
Did you call it sherbet or sherbet?
Sherbet.
Me too. Yeah. And I had a friend that was like, "It's sherbet," and I was like, "You're an idiot." Then I went to the grocery store, and sure enough, at the Ralph's grocery store, it said sherbet, and my life was destroyed.
Yeah, that's fair.
I still say sherbet. That's never going to change.
Nope, nor should it.
You know the little rainbow sprinkly things that you sprinkle onto desserts?
Yes.
Do you call those sprinkles or jimmies?
I call them sprinkles.
Right, because then you sprinkle them on. They're called sprinkles. Yes. I remember the first time someone was like, "Those are called jimmies." And I was like, "You're called an idiot." Again, I was like, "You're an idiot." It's the dumbest.
That's a Boston thing, isn't it? The first time I heard about it was
a New England thing. Okay. It's definitely a New England thing, because when I moved to New Hampshire, it was the first time someone said jimmies in front of me. And they were like, and I was like, "Can you describe to me what jimmies are?" And they're like, "You know, they're like sprinkles." And I was like, "Exactly."
Yeah.
How do you put them on? Oh, you sprinkle them on. Interesting. Well, and someone once tried to differentiate between sprinkles and jimmies. Like one of them was chocolate and one of them was rainbow. And I was like, stop. That's why we have a name for them. Chocolate sprinkles. That's the reason.
Right. So, we've already like taxonomy has already taken care of classifying this thing.
Well, actually, Q-tips are a brand name. Shut up. Q-tips.
Yes. Phylum sprinkles.
Right.
You know.
Right.
Order.
Yeah, exactly. Dessert topping. Right, exactly. I like it. This is good.
Yeah.
When I was growing up, you would make a movie and that had been made before and you would call it a remake. And now, in the past few years, we've had this fancy language where we have things called reboots. Mm. Andy, can I ask you a question?
I see no way of stopping you.
You can try to contain me, but you cannot stop. Here's my question about reboots as opposed to remakes. What? Yes. What? That's my question.
I actually have a pretty, I think it's actually a pretty simple answer. Although I have no doubt you will take exception to at least part of it.
No.
And then we will have our usual tête-à-tête.
I seek accord with you. It's all I seek.
As do I. The difference for me is actually pretty simple. If it is telling a story that has already been told in movies with the intention of telling a story that's already been told in movies, it's a remake. If it's telling a story that has already been told in movies with the intention of launching a franchise of more than one movie, it's a reboot. Because I don't think I've ever heard of a reboot talking about one movie. It's always, we're rebooting the franchise, or we're rebooting...
So let me ask you something. Are you actually rebooting... So for instance, let's go with Spider-Man, which they call it a reboot.
Yes.
Is it that you're not actually remaking... Yeah, reboot makes sense because a reboot... Where do we get the term reboot from? Let's just get basic here. Reboot coming from your computer.
Mm-hmm.
When you reboot your computer, you reboot it so that it will function again. Mm-hmm. Like, start it up all over. You're restarting something.
Right.
Rather than recreating something.
Right, right.
So that would make... The other thing that I think might be happening with reboots is they're also... It's not just that you're telling something that's been told for movies like before. It's that you're telling something that... To my mind, had a life somewhere outside of film before that. Like Spider-Man started as a comic book. These reboots, I hear reboots being used when it comes to comic book stuff, which makes it all the more hipper, I guess. But right. Is there stuff out there that's a reboot of non-comic book or whatever proportions? You know,
not that I can think of off the top of my head, but I'm sure I'm just not thinking of something.
So if we were going to, for instance, start doing the hair, like when they remake the Harry Potter series, which will happen, will that be a reboot? It'll be a reboot.
Yeah. Here's something.
Does it depend how long ago it was?
No. Spider-Man was a couple of years.
I know, but no, I'm saying.
Not from first movie to first movie.
So I'm going the other direction. No, so I'm going the other direction. Like, let's say they don't reboot Harry Potter until like 55 years from now.
Ah, I see.
And I'm 88 and going, this is bull crap.
You know, it's funny. I just don't think they'd bother with it. At that point, I think they just say like, we're doing this again. The Three Musketeers is always a remake. You know what I mean?
Okay.
Here's an example of something that I think fits reboot and does not, to my knowledge, have a life outside of its original medium. It might now, but that's after the reboot. Or perhaps reimagining, which is another term we can talk about.
Reimaginings.
The new Battlestar Galactica.
Okay.
Here's what it shares with the original series. There are robots that are trying to eradicate humanity, and those robots are called Cylons. That's pretty much it. Hmm. Oh, and I think the humans, I know this is true for the reimagining. I don't know if it's true for the original because I've only seen a couple episodes. They think that like Earth has been lost. Like they're trying to get home to Earth because it's almost like a Garden of Eden metaphor.
Okay.
But those are the things. Those are the things, and everything else is built on that, and they're similar things that happen, but they're not, it's not the same. It might as well be two different things, but they sort of appropriated the name, as it were. We could talk about, you know, if that's a
code. So is that a reimagining or a reboot?
I would say it's both of those things. I wouldn't actually call it a remake. I mean, it is, right? These are not necessarily completely separate terms, right? There is overlap. In fact,
do you get annoyed when you hear the term reboot?
I mean, a little.
Why? Tell me what. No, this is what I want to get at, because you and I, I do too. And you and I mean, I'd like to say we're not that picky, but people listen to us, so they know we are. But I do think you and I are both like kind of so gleefully ridiculous about movies sometimes that how could we possibly be upset about anything? Like, ooh, a reboot. Like, why does that bother us so much?
Well, it's like the Jimmies thing, right? There's already a name for it. Just call them Sprinkles, right?
Right. Like, right.
Like, what is a reboot? It's where you remake a
There it is. There's a great ESPN commercial from like 10 years ago where Andy Roddick was like, why are you calling Alex Rodriguez A-Rod? I'm A-Rod. I'm Andy Roddick A-Rod. And they do this whole thing where I forget how it works, but then he's like, you know, blah, 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 Alex Rodriguez and Andy Roddick. And Stu Scott goes, who? And Roddick goes, A-Rod. And he goes, like, got you. You called him A-Rod. Like, I know I did not do that commercial justice at all just then, but it's one of those things where it's like, got you to say it. So it's like, what's a reboot? Right. It's when you remake, we got a word. We're all
Yahtzee.
Set.
There we go. Yes.
So I buzzwords around movies always kind of bother me. You know, like there's that sort of just show it. Reimagining gets me excited though. Which is probably just, by the way, I said this before, I'll say it again. This is all just fancy ways to say, we're going to show you the same crap we showed you before and you're going to pay for it, you idiots.
Well, right. And also, I mean, not for nothing.
Just feed it to me with a spoon. Please don't make me work hard.
Right. Second Breakfast Nation, this is, you will notice, my favorite kind and Phil's favorite kind of argument, a wholly and completely semantic one.
I'm sorry. Are there other kinds of arguments?
Not as far as I'm concerned.
I think semantics are one of the only things worth arguing about sometimes.
Fair. No, that's totally fair. Here's something, because I agree with you about reimaginings. Can I posit a hypothesis as to why we might love reimaginings?
Ado.
I think it's our theater background.
Oh boy, God.
No, seriously. I mean, why are people still doing Shakespeare? Because you can reinterpret it, reimagine it, you know, even if you're doing it completely traditionally, whatever that means, it's still coming through your lens as the director, as the producer, as the actor's stage and sound designers, things like that.
I would go even further, which is that...
Please do.
A reimagining acknowledges the importance of the original myth that was created and says it's so good that we can mess with it and it will still be like, here is the structure. Now we will do all sorts of things around that.
That's really well said.
And it's like, you just gave me this really great way to think about, let's say it's a movie about forgiveness. I wish I could come up with a good example off the top of my head. But you gave me this great ideas about your movie set up the ideas for, well, Romeo and Juliet.
Mm-hmm.
West Side Story is a reimagining. It's not a remake. It's not a reboot. It's a reimagining of Romeo and Juliet.
Yes.
And what it's saying is the topic that you created, William Shakespeare, is so powerful. The story is so powerful that we can change it. Change the word, not just the scene, change the words, change the context, and it will still be perfectly relevant in its place.
Yes.
And so West Side Story is a phenomenal reimagining of Romeo y Julieta. So yeah, that's an interesting idea to me, like reimaginings. To some degree, to me, remakes try to capture the former glory of something while presenting itself as something new.
Right.
And reboots have this okay, you know when you reboot something? Is like generally you reboot your computer when there is something wrong with it.
Right.
Or when you've gotten an update.
Yes.
And Spider-Man didn't need a reboot.
Well, I mean...
The last one wasn't very good.
Right.
But what's-his-face... knew it wasn't any good. Sam Raimi knew it wasn't any good.
Right. He wanted to make amends in Spider-Man 4, and they were like, nope, rebooting.
Shame.
Yeah, it is a shame. It is a shame. So here's the deal. This is the cynic in me coming out, but like, reboot also means, is also sort of a stand-in for, like, it's corporate doublespeak, right? Because
it's like anytime they use the word synergy.
Sure. The reason that Spider-Man is getting rebooted, was rebooted, the reason, is because they quickly realized, or they quickly made the determination that Spider-Man 4 wasn't going to work out. And if they don't continue to make Spider-Man movies every so many years,
right,
the rights, Sony, the rights revert from Sony back to Marvel. And that didn't matter before there was a Marvel Studios. And now it matters, right?
What's really funny is Sherry Lansing, I think it's Sherry Lansing is the name of the person who's head of Paramount. And she was just like, for the record, we're never, ever giving that up.
Yeah, I know. I read that too. Yeah. Yes.
Which I understand on one hand, and on the other hand, because what are you going to, like, if they did, like, their shareholders would be like, so you're just,
what are you doing?
I mean, like, the movie purists and, like, the nerdy, like, romanticists in us are like, you can't let that go. I mean, like, you have to give it back to Marvel. Think right. about all the – my hope – this is a total digression. Here's the digression. This is the total digression.
Hit me.
My hope is that sometime in the near future, Paramount and Marvel just go, we're clearly putting Spider-Man in this movie.
Yeah.
Like, that they just go, we're crossing studios because we want to make billions of dollars.
That's the thing.
I mean, money. Wait, you like money, right? Like, yes. Well, then here's an idea that will make you money. Do you know what would make? Do you know what would make both? Is it Universal that distributes for Marvel? Or who does Marvel? I'm going to say Universal. I'm just going to say Universal for the sake of argument.
Sure.
For the sake of the conversation, Universal. You have Marvel and oh no, it's Disney. It's Disney that owns
that's
Marvel.
Right. That's of course.
So. And I think Disney has a pretty good track record of liking money.
Yes. I'm just saying. They are on record as enjoying.
And then Paramount, money. Sony, do you like money? Oh, you do? Well, I have an idea that'll make you all billions of dollars.
Yeah.
Will it be a total pain in the ass when it comes to, like, how you deal with marketing and brand stuff? Yeah, it will. I grant you it will.
Yes.
But who cares?
But you know what both of those corporate entities have a ton of? Lawyers. You know what they get paid to do? Figure that stuff out.
Oh, figure it out.
Right?
Figure it out.
I'll tell you.
I'll be sitting here counting my money.
Right? Phil, the story of Hollywood after, like, the 1970s is complete success that has come about almost completely by accident.
I feel that way about professional baseball as well.
Indeed.
Like, every single good thing that has happened in professional baseball has been an accident. They have just ruined it.
Mid-80s, Hollywood has never fought anything. Or to that point, had never fought anything as hard as they fought the VCR. Where would Hollywood be now if not for home video sales?
Right.
It's just, and it's like, and and I see this as a similar kind of thing, right? I mean, there's a reason. Excuse me.
It's okay. I'm dying. So have a little glass of water from your boot.
I'm gonna take a sip from my boot.
Okay. Andy, while Andy's taking a sip from his boot, I'd like everyone to think about Ocean's 11 as a classic remake example of film. Okay, Andy, are you ready to come back?
I am.
Okay, what were we going to say?
There's a thing in software called open source.
Oh, yeah.
Which is basically, I'm sure everyone knows this, but just in case you don't, they allow you to tinker with the software itself.
Right.
And they don't say, I own it. Like, they're like, you changed it. You go crazy. You know, change it as much as you want. And the operating system that is open source is Linux.
Yeah.
And it is a strong number three. I mean, yes, Microsoft and Apple are the numbers one and two, but it's a strong number three. And get this, there are multiple companies that make multiple millions of dollars dealing with open source software.
Right.
And they had to figure it out, right? They had to figure out how to do it, right?
But here's my question. How does Linux make money then? That's what I don't understand.
I actually don't know how Linux... Well, Linux is just... I mean, Linux, as I understand it, and SecBreakers, please correct me, because I'm sure I'm going to have at least a little bit of this wrong and maybe all of it.
Correct them all you want, people. I won't pay attention.
Linux is like C or Pascal. It's functionally like a language, right?
Okay. So the person who created it didn't make any money off creating it.
Probably not.
Interesting.
But one of the most successful companies in the tech space right now is a company called Red Hat. They're here in North Carolina.
I know Red Hat.
Everybody knows. Even people who don't know a lot about the industry know Red Hat. They do everything open source. And the way they make money, and they use Linux. And the way they make money is this. What they will do is they will produce a widget, all right, some program, okay? And they will give it to everybody for free. But if you want the full functionality, say, which you and I wouldn't care about because it does everything we need, it has bells and whistles galore. But if we were running a business that needed that program, we would need, and so they charge those people a subscription, and it's enough. I mean, Red Hat is a billion-dollar company.
So, Andy,
yeah,
what does this have to do with movies?
If it would take some figuring out,
but
there is no reason that Avengers 3
could not have Spider-Man in it,
and the Fantastic Four.
Who owns them?
Also, Sony or Fox.
Oh, Sony.
Fox. No, Fox owns it.
Who owns X-Men?
Fox. And the X-Men.
Oof.
Think about that.
This conversation got really confusing.
Right? Sony just owns Spider-Man. Fox
a couple
owns
things
X-Men and Fantastic Four. Everyone else is Marvel.
There's something I want to say about remakes.
Please.
True Grit, the Coen Brothers movie, is not a remake.
Okay. Explain why.
Because it is based on the book True Grit. As was the first film, True Grit, made by a whole different set of people. If you make a movie that is based on a book, and then I come around and try to also make a different movie based on a book, and they are differently based on the same book, one is not a remake of the other one. Two separate movies about the book.
Mel Gibson's Hamlet is not a remake of Laurence Olivier's Hamlet.
Right. Yes. Thank you. That.
I agree with that.
So
I agree with
okay.
that.
Okay. That's me being nitpicky. So I'm for reimaginings. That goes without saying. I'm for reimaginings. I am interested in remakes. I mean, I don't know. I mean, in the long run, remakes aren't that. The funny thing is, reboots don't bother me as much as remakes, because reboots are sort of like, at least they're not pretending. They're like, well, we got to make money. Right. Remakes are always like, oh, we're just like, they always try to make it sound like there's a creative reason to remake The Magnificent Seven, for instance.
Right. But The Magnificent Seven is
it a remake or a reimagining?
It's a reimagining. But Phil,
I know
every square is a rhombus, but not every rhombus is a square, right? The umbrella term here is remake, right? Reboot is not something different. It's a kind of remake. Reimagining is not something different. It's a kind of remake.
Do you know why I refuse to argue with you?
Because I use the word rhombus?
Yes, that's exactly why. And that's all I have to say about this. I think I'm done for the day.
Miss Neighbor, my Algebra 2 teacher would be very pleased with me right now. I don't know why rhombus is geometry. Nevertheless,
she just like to see what you've made of yourself. Really,
that's right. It's interesting that you say that. You know, something we've said a lot on this podcast recently is there are only so many stories out there.
Yeah.
Right. And so while it drives me crazy, and I know it drives you crazy, that they're telling a zombie story that has nothing to do with a certain book, and they're calling it World War Z.
So I was thinking about that today, just being angry in the car.
At the end of the day, I mean, you know what? An equal level of bastardization was done by Will Smith with the movie I Am Legend.
To be fair, an equal level of bastardization was done by Stanley Kubrick with the movie The Shining.
You're absolutely right.
And everyone's fine with it.
You're absolutely right.
Because in my mind, he was reimagining the story.
Right, right. Which is the same word, but using it in a different context. But yes, yeah. I Am Legend has been made into like 4 or 5 movies, only one of which was actually called I Am Legend, and none of them have the same storyline as the book. It makes you wonder, like, if you like the book so much to option it as a movie,
why not tell it?
What are you doing?
Well, it's funny you mention that, because I think what I comforted myself with today while I was sitting there ruining the making of this film called World War Z was I comforted with myself with the fact that, whatever, it'll get remade properly someday.
That's right. That's right.
I believe as an HBO series. I hope 10 years from now. I hope World War Z flops terribly.
Yep.
And so they give up the property. They just give it up.
Right.
Why own it? Right. And then 10-15 years from now, someone makes, after Walking Dead's gone and it's been a while since we had a good zombie series,
yeah,
HBO makes World War Z as a TV show, which is what it should be.
Yeah. I guess the thing that doesn't bother me about remakes is what I was saying. You know, like, there are only so many stories out there. So even though it kind of drives me nuts, at the same time, I firmly believe, and this is something else we've said recently on the podcast, I firmly believe that it isn't really what a movie's about, it's how it's about it. And the movie that pops into my head, and it's certainly not the only one, is the Fright Night remake. That movie,
yeah.
I mean, it sounds like I'm damning it with faint praise when I say it's better than it has to be. But it's way better than it had to be.
It was a great movie. I mean, I guess great isn't the right word. I loved it. I thought it was really good.
It was legitimately scary.
If the first one had never been out and you'd never heard of it, you could have just seen this movie and been like, that was a really scary movie.
Yes. I wish there were fewer computer CGI.
Fair.
But I mean, that welcome to every movie released today, Andy. You know what I mean?
Except for the Evil Dead remake.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right. I'm sure there was CGI there too, but it was just not used as much as practical effects.
Right.
Every movie has mud, probably has.
No, CGI. There's no CGI. I don't think there's any CGI in Evil Dead.
Interesting. Okay.
I don't know. All right.
I'll believe it.
I think we're good.
Yeah. We really haven't reached, I mean, I say we haven't reached an accord. We haven't really disagreed, but we haven't sort
Beautiful.
Of.
Beautiful.
Yeah, we haven't really reached a higher level of understanding, but I think that's probably par for the course with us, right?
I personally hit Nirvana about 5 minutes ago. I don't know what you're talking about. When you said, I don't think you understand. When you said rhombus, everything got cleared up for me.
When I said rhombus, everything got cleared up? I like it.
I'm back in gear now.
Nice. So. Well, rhombus, Phil.
I thank you. My family thanks you. Mike Robb thanks you.
Nah, America thanks you. Okay. Mm-hmm. So that's it. Guys, let us know what you think. Remakes, reboots, reimaginings. Is there one you prefer over the other? What do you think about our definitions? Email us, we missed
several things.
Absolutely. Shoot us a note in the comments. Email us if you want. If you have a question for our mailbag at secondbreakfastpodcast@gmail.com. Like us on Facebook and do all the stuff that you should be doing, because it's the new millennium and you're a person who uses the internet. Right?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Anything I said that was wrong?
You are on it, Rhombus.
Rhombus right back at you. All right. And with that, that will do it for today's podcast. I am Andy Roth and that's Phil Duvall and we are Second Breakfast. We'll see you again real soon. Bye-bye.
Bye.
The most important meal of the day, Second Breakfast.